Hello, and welcome to the Anti-Fragile Tarot Podcast. This is your resident card slinger, Susanna, here with a belated and stealthy episode of the podcast. So as, you know, pretty much everyone knows at this point, I am still an ER nurse, and COVID cases are rising back up, so it's been a little challenging. I'm also finishing up my bachelor's degree, and I only have one semester left, which is awesome. I'm so ready to be done with school for a while. But my husband and I are also moving, not far from where I am now, moving to the border of Jersey City and Union City. So I'm still really close to Jersey City. I'm literally like a 3-minute walk from Jersey City. But you know, it's still a move and it's stressful. So I really haven't been able to commit to the podcast in the way that I would like to. But thank you for bearing with me. And you know that I can't forget about you. I've had an influx of new listeners recently, and a few people have been emailing me or commenting on my Instagram that they just found me. So welcome. I'm super happy that you're here if you're new. And thank you for letting me know that you're enjoying this. And if you've been listening for a long time, thank you for still listening. I know I've said this before, but doing a podcast sometimes makes you feel like you're speaking into the void. And I often have a lot of imposter syndrome about my work. So it's really, it's validating, but it's really meaningful when someone tells me that the podcast was helpful to them and their tarot journey. Anyway, enough navel gazing. So I still have some very nitty-gritty tarot podcasts on deck, but most of my tarot decks are packed away. Actually, this is kind of a fun tidbit. So in moving, I was debating whether I should severely downsize my tarot collection, especially because I really have no idea when I'm going to be doing readings for people on the regular again. And I ultimately decided to keep my collection. I do have a few decks that I may want to rehome because I literally just never use them and I don't have a strong collector's attachment to them. Like I do, say, my Welcome to Night Vale deck, or both decks, actually. I don't use them often, but I do enjoy having them. But I have a few other decks I just really don't use. But long story short, I decided to be proactive and pack up my stuff. And I packed away almost all of my tarot things, but I kept out a few decks. And I thought you might be interested to know which decks kind of made the cut for, okay, all my tarot stuff is packed away. What decks do I want handy for the next month? So the decks that made this temporary cut were, of course, my Centennial Smithwaite. That was not negotiable. I also kept out my Mystic Mondays deck because a couple of my friends ordered from me and they both requested that deck. This was before my Etsy was back on hiatus. I had it opened briefly during my summer break from school, but my semester is pretty writing heavy. And I also do National Novel Writing Month every November where you write 50,000 words in the month of November. So with everything that's going on, I just don't have the headspace to offer readings, unfortunately. But I will be opening it back up for December into January, and I might see about booking some sessions. So keep an eye on my Instagram because that's probably where I'm going to be advertising that. So anyway, so I kept my Centennial Smithwaite, I kept Mystic Mondays, and I also kept out my Vampire Tarot by Natalie Hertz. It was actually kind of a struggle for me. I knew I wanted the third deck because I knew I needed the deck that I have these orders from. And Centennial Smithwaite is just, it's a non-starter. It's always going to be there. But I wanted another deck as an option. And although I have a lot of criticisms of this Vampire Tarot, at this point in my tarot journey, it's still the first deck that I ever really used, and I have a very deep emotional connection with it. Plus, I'm writing a vampire story for National Novel Writing Month, as I usually do. This is my 10th year in a row doing it, and I've won the last 9 years. Winning means you hit your goal of 50,000 words before December 1st. So that's pretty cool. So I kept that deck. The Wild Unknown was almost saved. And it's funny because I know I've talked a lot about how overrated I find the Wild Unknown to be. It's a great deck. You know, I really got to put it out there. I still think that the hype about it is overblown. I really do. But it's a really solid deck. And I've had the Archetypes deck that she put out on my wish list for a while now. So I hope that that materializes for me by the end of the year. So those are the decks that made it. And I was packing up some more of the random odds and ends in the spare bedroom. We had roommates until recently. And this is a two-bedroom apartment. We're actually moving to a one-bedroom, but it's more square footage and a better layout and a lot of other fancy things. Plus, you know, buying instead of renting is nice. So I'm packing up this spare bedroom that I've kind of turned into my personal storage space. And I found a cat tarot that my husband gave me when I graduated nursing school. So I'm excited about that. I like that cat tarot deck. I don't like cutesy decks as a rule, but I also don't like really out there gothy decks. Anyway, okay, I have now officially rambled for 6 minutes, almost seven. Sorry about that. Let's get to the meat of the episode. So, although I do still have this episode that I really want to plan and do right for y'all about corresponding cards and pairs within the tarot, something that popped into my head recently, and I'm not sure exactly what the impetus for this was, but I wanted to spend an episode talking about how to handle reading for your friends and loved ones. Now, this can go for both professional readers and those who just do it for fun or as a hobby. There are some specific caveats and perspectives to layer in there when you involve money. Actually, I know exactly what prompted this. Most of my paid readings this year have actually been from friends. That's mostly because I have not had my Etsy open very much. So there's just not a lot of chance for people to discover because it's just not open. And I do have this unfortunate habit of procrastinating on my tarot stuff. As you might be able to tell by the fact that there's no longer two episodes a month. I promise we will get back there. I promise. I really am going to try to spend my winter break pre-recording some stuff so I have a more regular schedule for you in the new year. But, you know, I'm not proud of admitting this, but, you know, honesty is important. I definitely will procrastinate on getting readings done for friends because they understand. I mean, they know me and they know my life and, you know, they all know that I'm a nurse. And that this is a pretty tough year to be a nurse and especially to be a baby nurse. So, I really appreciate my friend's undying support and, I'm sorry. And I will try to be better, but so that's something I was really thinking about. I do offer my friends readings for free personally, and that's just me. This is my side hustle. You know, this is a hobby that I monetized and I wasn't looking to have a second gig. And don't get me wrong, the extra money, especially when I was really active doing events and my Patreon was bringing in a pretty decent chunk, that extra money really helped because I was working at my hospital job part-time while I was in nursing school. So being able to make this extra money in a couple hours on the side was really helpful. But I never intended to monetize this. I only started charging money because I was offering people readings for free and people started taking advantage. So eventually I was like, okay, well, I really have to do something about this, and I'm not great at saying no. So what I wound up doing was like, oh, this is my business now. So if you want readings, here's my money information. It is 6 in the morning as I record this, and my sleep schedule is a nightmare because I'm an overnight worker and I also have to be up during normal people hours for things like closing on a home that didn't happen like it was supposed to. So I pardon my lack of eloquence today, but I still am not great at telling people to pay me money. That's okay because my friends are awesome and they insist on throwing money at me for this. So get you some friends like that. But you know, something to consider if you're a professional is where those boundaries are. And you do need to make sure that you're not being taken advantage of by your friends who know that you read. I've definitely had friends who only reach out to me when they want a reading. And that's okay, but if you're at that point, if we're really just like Facebook or Instagram acquaintances and all you want from me is a reading, then pay me money. I think that's a pretty fair thing, especially because I always offer affordable readings. Like I am starting to understand my own value a little bit better these days, but I will always, always, always have some affordable option for readings because it's important to me to be able to provide access. And I'm also still down to barter stuff. I'm down to barter readings for readings. I'm down to barter readings for like goods or other services that you may offer. So let me know if you're interested. And I'll let you know if I have the headspace to do it. So if you're a professional, again, those are some considerations that, you know, are very particular to you about that. But I also think, you know, you should be cognizant of the fact that, you know, your friends may just want to connect with you about tarot. And again, you kind of have to use your discretion, right? Like, are they trying to, you know, connect and have a real bonding moment with you, or are they just trying to use you for your skills? And I think you kind of need to work within that. But the next set of advice really applies for both professional and, I don't like this word in this context, I'm sorry, but like amateur readers, like non-professional, doing it for fun or spiritual exploration or whatever, but not for money. Like that's the distinction here. This is a job / side gig / side hustle / career versus this is a thing that I do not for that. So that's the only distinction there. There's no other value judgment. I know people who, I don't know very many of them personally, but I know that some people start charging money for cards when they really have no business doing so. And I know people who have never done it professionally whose skills are mind-blowing. So, you know, this is not a value judgment on the quality or content of the readings. This is just that very practical thing. Anyway, so then we move on to the more ethical boundaries here. Now, there's two things. I guess the original impetus for this was actually doing readings on behalf of a friend. But what about if you want to do a reading to, you know, let's say like your best friend is in this terrible relationship and you want them to break up and your friend knows this. And partly because your friend knows this, they don't even really talk to you about the relationship anymore because they're tired of hearing you tell them to break up with this person. I know it's not just relationships, so this is just the easiest thing, okay? So what are the ethics of doing a card reading on your friend and their situation? Well, you know me. Morals and ethics are pretty relative and loosey-goosey. That being said, I don't think there's necessarily anything ethically wrong with consulting the cards about what we call a third party. What I will say is that you shouldn't read too much into it. You know, if you want to do a reading that's like what can I do to support my friend in this time, and how can I help them, or like, how is my friend's relationship going to affect my relationship with my friend? I think those are much more useful readings to do. And again, you know, I'm coming from this very like psychological perspective. This is going to sound like I'm, you know, casting aspersions, and I'm sorry, but like, if you feel that you have a, you know, a psychic gift or insight, you know, you work with that by all means. It's just not what I'm going to be talking about, because it's not what I talk about, not how I operate. And this podcast is really aimed towards people who are in a similar perspective. So, yes, you can do a reading of, you know, oh, is this person ever going to shape up and treat my friend right? Or, you know, what do I need to be aware of about this person as far as my friend goes? I find it very tricky to attempt to divine, for lack of a better word, or perhaps it's a perfect word. I find it very tricky to divine intentions about someone else from a reading. We don't yet have reliable telepathic communication, and I kind of hope we never do, because my brain says a lot of things that my mouth and face don't. And I like it that way, and I think we all like it that way. I think we all need to have that private boundary. But regardless, I think it can really lead to more problems than solutions if we take what we read in a tarot card reading or an oracle card reading or Lenormand or whatever. I think it can create a lot of problems if you create this narrative about a person from the reading, and from that reading, you know, almost alone or out of context. I think it's really important that, you know, yeah, if it provides you some comfort or some alternative insight to consult the cards, that's fine. But I also think that you really need to proceed with caution, because, you know, let's say, I don't know, you do a reading and that reading tells you that, I don't know, your friend's partner is planning to move back in with their ex. I don't know, it's very specific, but I don't even do this kind of reading, so this is just an example. I wouldn't march up to your friend and go, hey, your partner's about to move back in with their ex. Like, I would certainly, you know, you might want to use that reading as an excuse to check in with your friend more, or to pay attention to what's going on. But I wouldn't present what you got out of a reading as, you know, evidence, like hard evidence about something. I just don't think that that's a good idea. But you can certainly, you know, if you do go down that route, I would certainly use that to, again, figure out your own approach to the situation and how you can best approach it in a reasonable manner. So then the other ethical quandary we have is, how do you decline doing a reading for somebody? I actually had this. I had a situation like this a while ago. A former friend of a friend of mine bought a reading on my Etsy, and due to the whole situation, it was very complicated and, you know, whatever. I wasn't there for most of it, so I didn't have much of a side, except for the part where I was friends with one of them and I wasn't close friends with the other one. Regardless of what may or may not have gone down, I just really didn't feel comfortable doing the reading. And I wasn't even sure what to do about it. Like, I don't know. I thought about not telling my friend, but it was a whole thing. I was afraid it was gonna like come back like a secret thing, and I just wanted everyone to be on the same page. So I wound up telling this person, "Hey, look, no hard feelings on my end. I just think that I'm a little too close to the situation right now to really give you a reading. But here's some other readers who are close friends of mine who I go to personally for readings and can vouch for, and I recommend you go to them for this reading." And I refunded them the money, and it was fine, and it worked out for everybody. I mean, my friend got business, and this other person like got their reading, and I didn't have to have this uncomfortable thing where whatever. It was fine. But that is something that can happen, you know, especially if your friend circles are relatively small. And you know, there's a lot of word of mouth going on. So you might want to consider who will you and won't you read for, and what will you and won't you read on. You may or may not feel comfortable doing readings for your closest friends. I personally don't have a problem with it. I do find it to be a bit of a challenge because I don't want to rely solely on what I guess can be derogatorily called cold reading techniques, where you're using context clues and knowledge about a person to, make your reading sound more impressive or accurate. I think I've discussed this in a previous episode. I don't think that that's a bad thing, especially not if you're viewing the cards as a psychological introspection tool and not a psychic message, which is how my main approach. But you still may not necessarily be that comfortable with reading for people that you know. You may just not be cool with it. And you know what? That's okay. It is okay. I'm not very good at saying no, so I don't know if I'm saying this more for me or not, but it really, really is okay to tell a friend, you know what? I don't know that I feel comfortable about this. Now, on the flip side, I do think it's important to note that reading for your friends is actually a fabulous way to practice because you do know a little bit about them and their lives, and you can make those connections in the cards based on it. They can help you, those kinds of readings can help you further contextualize the cards as you're learning about them and as you're doing your readings. And that's super duper important, especially when you're starting out. It's good to be able to see that story play out and be able to make sense of it, sort of a practice round with your friends, you know? But you do still need to figure out your own comfort level with it. I always like to make it a challenge and try to read the cards like I don't know them. At least at first, like I often, when I'm doing a reading for somebody that I know, I often contextualize the reading first in terms of what the cards say. Just purely what story are the cards telling? What messages are there? What paths are there? And then after I say, purely what the cards are saying, I relate it back to what I know of their lives. Any information that they told me specifically for the reading. I usually ask people to give me some kind of direction or synopsis of what's up. Some people do, some people don't. That's all them. But I like to start off first with what the cards themselves are saying, and then really relate it more directly to their life or their situation or their personality, whatever the reading is about. And that's the approach that I find works for me. You may exclusively read for other people and never for yourself. You may only read for yourself and never for anyone else, you may decide that you only want to do this for strangers, which is, you know, a lot harder when you're not doing it for money. But the internet's a great place to offer free readings if that's what you want to do. It's an overwhelming place to do it, but it's there. So I think that's most of my thoughts about this, you know, complicated thing of reading for other people. You just really need to navigate your own ethics and understanding of what it is that you offer, how you think you can provide the most benefit, and what boundaries you personally have. You know, whether that's not wanting to feel like you're getting unduly swayed by what the cards are saying, if you don't want your friends to be relying on your insight or the cards' insight instead of, you know, working through stuff on their own. And, you know, of course, you know, while, again, my actual friends and even most of my acquaintances are really, really good about this, I don't personally have very many problems with this. You know, being aware of people who are taking advantage or want to take advantage of someone who they know has this skill. So, you know, these are things to think about as you're navigating this and deciding how you want to implement reading cards for other people. All right, I hope that was a useful little nugget of an episode. Sorry it's a little short. I'm tired and distracted. My cat is very warm next to me. I have a work meeting in a little bit, a virtual one, thankfully. And, you know, it's a really rough time for me. Between the rising COVID cases and the schoolwork and moving and, you know, my own personal National Novel Writing Month thing, it's been a pretty rough month for me. And at least some of that's going to even out by mid-December, but, you know, I'm still going to be an ER nurse. I still have one more semester of school, so I'm not out of these woods yet, but I really appreciate everyone's support and understanding, and I just really do want to thank you for being there for me and for letting me know that you enjoy this podcast. If you have any ideas for what you'd like to hear about, please feel free to email me. I'm antifragiletarot@gmail.com. If you want to help keep the podcast going and help pay for my friend Emma to transcribe them, my Patreon is still active, and I will be getting back into posting more, especially in my new place. I'm really excited to have like a really nice backdrop there to record and hopefully some nicer lighting and better sound insulation. I'm just really excited about this move. It's going to be a really pretty place. And I'm going to have a good altar space, finally. My altar current setup is currently like my Shabbat candles and some other candles and an incense holder on like a bedside table. So it's a small area. And I already have some furniture I plan to use for my altar space. So I'm really, really excited about that. So you can tune into my Instagram to see how all of that is unfolding when I get all set up. I will be doing more Patreon-specific stuff. I still need to dive back into astrology. I was working on an astrology guide on there. If you really want to support, honestly, the most supportive thing you can do is leave comments and send me emails. I'm Antifragile Tarot on Facebook, that would be two words. I'm Antifragile Tarot on Instagram, that's one word. I'm Antifragile Card on Twitter. I mostly post political stuff on there because I go on Twitter once every couple of weeks and binge it and then I forget about it. I'd love to hear from you. I miss being able to tell you when my next event was going to be. So instead, I'm going to put in a reminder here to try to shop small when you can for the holidays coming up. Small businesses are really, really struggling, especially ones that relied on a lot of events and small business, like store, like in-person walk-ins, it's been pretty hard this year. So if you can support small businesses, ones that your friends own, ones that you find on Etsy, I really recommend doing that. And if you can order online, do it. If you still have some outdoor markets, I know it's getting cold in a lot of places. It's certainly getting cold in New Jersey. I'm about to go for a run and it is 30 degrees. I'm going to cry. But running helps me keep sane. So maybe I'll actually cry less. I know it's getting cold, but there's still some outdoor markets. I really strongly caution you against spending time indoors. I also really want you to be careful about the holidays coming up. If you can make your holidays with your family virtual, I really recommend doing so. I know it's hard, and I know I guess it's easy for me to say because most of my family is dead. But I was actually really looking forward to spending Thanksgiving with my brother's family again this year like I did last year, and that's not an option. So I really want us all to make it into 2021 and not die from COVID. That's my wish. So if you would like to support me, honestly, the best thing you can do is wear your mask when you're out, continue to social distance from people, continue to minimize the amount of time you're spending indoors, and really just, you know, be safe. Support your local mutual aid when you can. Look up your city and mutual aid and see what comes up. If you need any help with that, you can email me again, antifragiletarot@gmail.com. I donate to a lot of organizations. I donate to mutual aid and, you know, some racial justice orgs and some LGBTQ orgs and some local pride organizations. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to do. But the biggest thing is to really just keep yourself safe and keep those around you safe by following those basic guidelines that we all know how to do and we all kind of got lax about over the summer. It's time to scale that back. Let's make it through this winter, okay? Be well. I hope you have a witchy and or wonderful day. And I am making no promises about another episode in November, but you will get at least one in December. I promise. All right. Take care. Bye.